This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. Running the three-man show this week. EB, we'll talk a little Tiger Woods. Rex Hoggard coming up at 8:45.
What's there to talk about? It's friggin' over. The guy's annoying.
All right, well, you can talk Scottie Scheffler, the Masters, whatever you want. Yeah. But Rex Hoggard will join us coming up at 8:45. We've got Game Show Wednesday coming up a little bit later for your chance to win tickets to go to any show that you choose at Wolf Trap this summer. Pretty cool prize. And we also have tickets to The Offspring. But our pal Michael Phillips joins us, host of the MP on the Mike Show, 910 The Fan in Richmond. He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. What's up, MP?
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
So
doing
we were having kind of a heated debate about whether the defense has gotten better. We understand that this is very early in the process, but how do you see it so far?
The defense has gotten different, right? John Allen comes out, Kinlaw comes in. I don't know that anybody would suggest that's an upgrade on paper for next year's team, right? Will Harris in, Jeremy Chinn out. I think that's the one that I would sell you on as maybe being a little bit more of an upgrade. But I can tell you, I was maybe a little more down on Jeremy Chinn than the average person. I think he kind of coasted off the Frankie Luvu love, like they were a package deal from Carolina. Everybody's like, the Carolina guys. Luvu was always the guy who was dominant out of that duo, I felt. It's weird. Big picture, it's weird because all we've heard about this new regime and Lance Newmark and Adam Peters is they're so good at drafting. They love to dominate in the draft, and we saw that last year. Basically, everybody they picked was awesome. And now they're giving away the draft picks for these guys. And we're hearing that it's a bad draft class, but it's still – a little confusing to me that why you wouldn't want to have as many draft picks as you can, given that's how these guys do their business.
So here's why I trust them inherently at this point, because last year at this time, when the Commanders were plucking guys like Ertz and Eckler off the free agent pile, nobody was thrilled about those names. People were looking at Ertz like, does he have anything left in the tank? They were looking at Eckler kind of the same way. Like, is he approaching that wall that a lot of running backs approach when they get close to 30, and both of those guys were hyper productive. I mean, Eckler was sidelined by concussion issues, but when he was in the lineup, he was really good. So I look at like these pickups, like, you know, pick up Will Harris instead of Chinn. Like I still trust this brain trust that they have in place to make the right moves to improve the team.
Yeah, no question about it. They've earned our trust. I mean, on my scorecard, they've had two misses. Marshawn Lattimore was a miss, obviously, And I think Luke McCaffrey has been to date, but I don't think anybody's writing him off. He could have a great training camp, come back and play really well next year. Everything else has just been an absolute smashing success. Yeah. So you have to just fully trust this crew. I think the thing they're going to have to balance over these next couple of years is, you know, you've got 3 years of this window, which so few teams ever get this luxury. Rookie quarterback who's so good his first year. So you get 3 years of a cost-controlled Jaden Daniels. You can do kind of whatever you want each of these 3 years and not worry about the salary cap. Most teams, you know, the rookie quarterback comes along, has an all right first season, good the second year, maybe dominant the third. You push all your chips in that fourth year. They can essentially push the chips in three times over the next 3 years. So I think it'll just be a matter of balancing that, right? How do you do that in a way that, you know, you don't go too crazy this year, because you're going to have two more bites at this apple, which is just, it's an incredible opportunity.
And Michael, I think that was the real catalyst for making the Laremy Tunsil deal. Like, if Jaden Daniels wasn't as good in year one as he was, you probably don't swing that deal, because, I mean, that guy's making top of the market money. He's going to want an extension. He's got 2 years left on his deal. They probably don't pull the trigger on that move if Jaden wasn't spectacular in year one.
I agree, and that's the most important thing you can do right now is keep Jaden upright. You know, he's the future. If he gets hurt in any of these three seasons, you just write it off and you hope Marcus Mariota sneaks him into the playoffs, you know, with the wild card or something like that. He's the difference. Everybody sees that. And so you can't overinvest in him and his development and his protection. And, yeah, you know, that is the position. You'll never hear me complain about overpaying for an offensive lineman or a tackle. You know, I'm a huge Sam Cosmi guy, but I think there's very legitimate questions given the injury he sustained and when he sustained it, right? You may need to do something on that side of the line as well to make sure you're good early in the year. We've seen it from the Eagles, right? They were down two centers in that NFC title game, just kept rolling. You know, next guy up, he came in, they had the depth. I will never complain about overpaying for offensive line talent, because that's all about keeping the quarterback right.
All right, so let's get back to the defensive side, because that's what we were debating earlier. And I'm sure you spent time on the show, on your show, talking about it. We talked about Myles Garrett possibilities, Trey Hendrickson possibilities. Then we talked about some of these guys who've already been signed, like Josh Sweat and Khalil Mack. All those guys are gone, right, except for Hendrickson, but let's be honest, I don't think Washington has the draft capital or capital now to make a move for him. What do they do now? Do they bring back an unhappy Dante Fowler? What do you do?
You know, and you know, money solves those love problems, right? If he's not feeling the love, there's ways to get a guy to feel the love that, you know, are financial. And that may have been in relation to how other teams showed him love as well in the early stages of free agency. So, you know, it's, you nailed it. Everybody good kind of went off the board or got franchise tagged or got taken care of early or is too expensive. It was a weird free agency class. It was kind of perceived as a dud class, and then the best players went off the board there before it even started, you know, before I guess we officially start this afternoon. But, you know, everybody knows we've started. I don't know what you'd do. I think probably right now, best guess is they're using that first round draft pick on a pass rusher. And you know, you're hoping for that Adam Peters magic, right? That he hits on that. And that's an impact rookie next year, because that sure feels like the best path to getting production out of that position.
So EB got kind of upset because I said that I feel like they're kind of running it back with the defense. All right. I understand there's going to be different guys, but the main players,
48 hours into free agency,
it feels like they're running it back. Is that outrageous to say that, MP?
I just, who are they going to get to make it better the way you want to make it? I'm inclined to agree with that statement. I think they will largely run it back on defense. Yeah. Who are they going to get
I presume they're going to draft a stud end and probably a stud corner in the top of their 100 picks. They'll probably have, they have two right now. They'll probably have a couple more. Two, like, guys that they expect to start, I think. I think you're getting a better by addition by subtraction just by getting rid of guys like St. Juiced. I think the other guys are a wash. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to run it back, the 31st ranked defense. No, I don't believe that.
31st against the run. They were 13th overall, to be fair.
Yeah, they certainly weren't 31st. You know, I think probably they would have been in the Joey Bosa game if they were looking to be true impact players on defense. You look at the deal he got, they certainly would have been able to accommodate that cap-wise. And there's knowledge there, obviously. You know, they know who he is and what he's capable of. That tells me they're looking to go young there. I agree with you. I think they're going to draft at both those positions. Wouldn't surprise me if they get a linebacker in as well. You know, every year Bobby Wagner is a gift, but one is probably the realistic number of years you're going to get out of him. So you got some major pieces you need to put in place. I just don't know, at pick 29, I think in a lot of ways we got to recalibrate how we view the draft. We're so used to drafting stud guys who drop in and play right away because these guys have always picked, you know, before we go to sleep on draft night. Now they're at the end of the night. It's a different caliber of player there, and we're hearing this isn't a great draft class. So, my expectations are tempered, but I agree with y'all that Adam Peters has earned our full trust here, whoever he brings in. I'm going to choose to be excited about him the next day.
Talking to Michael Phillips, host of the MP on the Mic show on 910 The Fan in Richmond, comes on right after us before AWOD. All right, so if we ask you to make a bet on which of these receivers the Commanders will bring back who are free agents, because Cakes and I made a bet on this. You've got Noah Brown, you got OZ, Olamide Zaccheaus, you got Jamison Crowder. I guess you got KJ Osborne, but whatever.
They're not going to have him.
Which of those guys do you think comes back?
I think it was Noah Brown. I mean, he had that mysterious health thing where they had the bye week and then he kind of like just didn't come back, and it was kind of always shrouded in a little bit of mystery. So,
because I think it was pretty serious from what I understand. Yeah.
And wasn't, wasn't something that, it was weird. And it may have been serious. So obviously there's a big health question to be answered there. But I think he was the most productive of all those guys. The beauty of Olamide Zaccheaus was he'd been on good teams. He'd been in, he was a veteran guy. He could run the routes. He could do the things. You needed that in year one, right? You can only handle so much in one training camp where you're trying to overhaul things. Everybody knows the offense next year coming in, so that's a lot less of an advantage. He's a UVA guy. I like him. I covered him forever ago. But the advantage there really isn't an advantage. Everybody knows the offense now. Everybody can run routes now. It's Brown if he's healthy. I think the upside of bringing Crowder in is just he can do returns. With Austin Ekeler having another concussion at the end of the year, I don't want him returning punts and kicks in any capacity this year. I think that's just too dangerous of a game to play with him, especially they're going to tweak the rules again, it looks like, try to create more kickoff returns, off of the new kickoff. So I think that's the upside of Crowder. I don't think he brings a ton of receiver upside. I say that as a guy who enjoys him and also covered him in multiple stints here. But on the whole, if anybody's standing on the table for any of these guys, Crowder, Zaccheaus, whatever, you're shooting too low. You're still living in the past. This is an NFC title game team. You stand on the table for big impact players, because that's where this team is right now. The days of standing on the table for guys who other teams might not even take is long gone.
Michael, what do you see as the role for second-year lineman Brandon Coleman with Laremy Tunsil coming to town? Obviously, Tunsil will start at left tackle. Do you shift Coleman over to right tackle? Do you kick him inside? What do you see happening there?
And most scouts saw him as a guard initially, not a tackle. That was why he slid to the third round. That was probably the best of all the Adam Peters draft moves. How many GMs in this league have found a left tackle that late in the draft? It's a small list. So, he overshot to begin with. He got incredible production, more than you could have possibly hoped for. But the initial tag on him from all the scouts was this guy's a guard. So I think, as long as you feel comfortable with what you've got at right tackle, I think he can really bolster your depth inside and give you a pretty good line, especially if Cosmi can't go week one. You're going to need to shuffle those guards around, figure that situation out. My best guess right now is he goes guard, but clearly he can do either.
So we started off asking you about the defense, whether it got better or for worse, if they're running it back, that sort of thing. So let's turn to the offense. They scored 28.5 points per game. Fantastic with Jaden Daniels. What do you think Tunsil and Debo add to the offense? It's definitely better, but it already was really good.
I like Debo because this is going to be a weird running backs year. Last year it was so nobody pays a running back, only a sucker does that. And then Saquon has his year, and obviously Derrick Henry has his year. And it's a reactionary league, right? So everybody's going to go get a running back this year. Oh, shoot, we undervalued running back. We got to pay. This is the year to be out of the running back market. And so I love bringing in a guy like Deebo Samuel, who inherently makes the running game better without having to go get a running back. He allows you to run it back with B-Rob and Eckler. And, you know, maybe, you know, a couple months ago you say, do you want to run it back with B-Rob and Eckler? I'm maybe hemming and hawing a little bit about that. But now I feel like with Deebo, obviously with James' running ability, I think you got enough of a running game there, and you got enough, you know, of a dynamic presence to make that group even better. I think it allows you to stay out of what's going to be a weird running back market. Apparently there's going to be three or four of them taken in the first round of the draft, which I just tell you right now, I do not get that at all. That feels like a big overreaction to me. So I think it allows them to stay out of that business right now, which is probably a good thing.
You know, go ahead, Cakes.
Oh, no, it was just me. I want to just speak more globally, just to your point that you've mentioned a few times about giving this group the benefit of the doubt. I'm not used to doing that here locally because I'm used to attacking them for 30 years, but I really do think this group has earned it. However, in that same vein, as I've said many times, I think the Lattimore thing is going to blow up in their face. Sure. I think they're pot committed on this. If you had, so I think that's their biggest whiff so far. They're human. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. I think that one's a big one. Do you have one that jumps out at you?
I get why they're going to bring him to training camp, because if he gets, you know, if he's right, if he's playing well, you know, that solves a position that's really hard to solve right now in the NFL. I just think the odds of that happening are really small. And, you know, those guys don't age gracefully. Those big, big talk, big play, number one guys. And somebody suggested the other day, called in and said, well, why don't you just move them to number two? You know, and I don't think guys like that play on number two on the depth chart, or at least not well. I'd love to be proven wrong there. But, yeah, that's the one for me. And, you know, it feels silly to say this on March 12th. With Jaden Daniels on our local football team that just went to the NFC title game. So I'm enormously happy about everything. Would love to get a real kicker in here, though.
Thank you.
That one's covering, too.
I love you, Michael.
You're not a Zane Gonzalez guy? What happened to Cyber?
You're my spirit animal,
Cyber,
Michael.
He just got hurt. And the problem is his short kickoffs.
They forgot about Cyber?
No, the short kickoffs are damning.
Guy went 7-for-7 in the game.
Yeah. I also hope they get rid of this strategy of just letting them return kicks. I hate that. Just kick the effing thing out of the end zone.
Well, I think they're changing the rules so that everybody's going to have to run it back next year. So they really want kickoff returns and you know, whatever.
Is that really true? Have I missed that? Are they really doing that?
They want to make the touchback go to the 35, not the 30, to incentivize actually kicking it to them this year. So, you know, to me, if you start every possession at the 35, every possession is essentially a field goal. Like, you know, we're one
you
step
better
away
get
from
a field
going,
goal. Yep.
Yeah, you're one step away from just playing 7-on-7 and doing Big 12 style, 50-45. But the people love offense. I'm not going to Chris Russell this and you know, tell complain about how they don't run the ball enough. People love offense. Give them their offense.
All right, Michael. Good stuff. It's Michael Phillips. You can listen to him right after us. Host the MP on the Mike Show on 910 The Fan in Richmond. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Michael.
Take care, guys.
Yep. Man, I didn't know he was so vociferous against the kickers like your pal here.
Mm-hmm. You love to have brothers in arms.
I do.
I'm a kicker guy.
I think you have a lot when it comes to their kicker situation.
Of course I do.
Because I think he went 5. Now, he hit like all his extra points and stuff.
Yeah.
What do you go, 5-for-7, I think? I think that's what he went.
Missed
down
one or
stretch
two,
for
and Cakes just wants him to die.
No,
I mean,
death,
it's crazy.
Death is way too punitive.
Yeah.
Just don't be on the roster.
But just think about the guys they had ever since they signed Brandon McManus a year ago. It was McManus, and I'm probably going to miss somebody. I think Cade York.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of York after one game.
Right.
Then they brought in Seibert.
And
Seibert
was actually
pretty good. In their defense,
yeah.
They had a disaster. Explode. It was unforeseen, this McManus situation. Mm-hmm. They had it resolved. And I'm not sure the kicker cost them maybe one game.
Not really. I mean,
I'm not even sure if it did.
Yeah.
Well, the Cowboys game.
So the Cowboy game.
I mean, that was a massive. That was a
That's
massive
true.
Miss.
Extra point.
Well, you know what also killed them was not tackling the freaking kick returner. That also killed them.
Yeah,
Adam Peters. I know it's. Probably won't for 2025.
They did a pretty good job.
Just put kicker on the list. It can be way down the list, but just add it to the
list. If they draft a kicker, you'll murder him. You'll murder him if they draft a kicker.
I don't want him drafting a kicker. Okay, yeah. that's what the teams did 30 years ago with Sebastian Janikowski. Those
worked
days
out pretty
are
good.
Okay, just find a reliable kicker. It's out on the street. It's unemployed.
It's Game Show Wednesday. We're going to play Where Are They Now a little bit later. Also, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel here on the Junkies.
EB, you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been to Austin, Texas, right? I feel like you've been to Austin, Texas.
My wife has. I actually don't believe I have.
I think they do that South by Southwest bit.
Yes, you're correct.
That's correct.
I've heard of it.
It's a big festival.
It's a very Texas.
I don't know much about it, I'll be honest.
Well, sometimes they come out with movies. I'm intrigued by this, and I know EB's reaction before I bring it up.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But there's a documentary. Now, he does like docs.
Okay.
Which is coming out called The Age of Disclosure.
All right.
And I'm intrigued because it apparently presents proof that humans on Earth are not alone in the universe.
Oh, now you have my interest.
See, you're interested. They have 34 senior members of the government, military, and intelligence community that went on camera to talk about it, saying that we've known about, you know, UFOs and certain things that have been here.
ETs.
Is that all you got? Paid propagandists?
Aliens.
Is that all you got?
And that they're we're trying to reverse engineer complex technology.
The evidence
is these guys.
That's not good enough.
I need a tour of Area 51.
Show me the spaceship.
What would it take?
Show me the aliens. Show me the ET.
I'd love to be behind 1,000 miles of barbed wire underground and see an alien spacecraft. I'd love to see that.
Show me the E.T. All you got to do is just pull out the E.T.
And his big long finger.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
So if they showed you a spaceship.
No.
That's beyond like the videos you see. Like we always see these videos.
No, I would. You would need to like see it.
Whatever happened? I think we all just assumed it was military. But a couple months ago, remember there was stuff happening in like New Jersey primarily.
Yeah, a lot of like
they were all drones. They just announced. I mean, who knows? They lie about everything. Everybody lies. They said it was just drones.
Yeah, I figured so.
Yeah, and there was a ton of them. There are drones everywhere. We're all gonna die by drones. Is my guess.
We are.
It'd be a drone attack. It's so easy to just infiltrate.
So if you were to watch this documentary, which hopefully it'll get to like Netflix or something like that.
He sounds like he won't believe it until he like.
I got to see the ET.
They say they have irrefutable documented evidence of vehicles that appear to defy the laws of physics.
I'm open to
it. And interfere with nuclear and military activity.
I'm open to it.
They say that our country and other countries know about it, and they're basically covering up. They don't want people.
Secret.
Yes.
They don't want it all classified. They don't want the rubes like us in a big panic about there being alien life forms out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be in a big panic because this is just my stupid theory. Yeah. I've seen movies like Independence Day.
Sure, we've seen them. We've all seen them.
Because generally those movies.
You haven't seen Independence Day?
I don't have a file on it.
All the spaceships line up over all of the major cities across the planet. And then
they just shoot
down a giant laser all at the same time.
Maybe.
Just wipe out the humans. You probably haven't seen it.
I might have watched it on HBO, like, for a second.
But all those movies, I shouldn't say all, but it seems like most of those movies presuppose that the aliens come here and then just want to wipe us out.
Sure.
But if they have superior technology and they're superior beings, mm-hmm. we're like bugs to them. I don't feel like they would need to.
Well, not only that, we've been sitting here for thousands of years. Why haven't you taken us over yet? You're just biding your time.
Yeah.
You're just waiting forever. We're here. Come, blast us off the face of the planet.
Now, in some of those movies, they need water. Yeah. And they see a planet that has 70% water.
They need our resources.
Water.
Right. We've got like, isn't 65% of the earth covered by water? If they want water, come get it.
I'm generally with you, EB. I don't really believe there's a bunch of ETs around. But I am somewhat fascinated.
Show me Bigfoot.
By some of these videos. And then when there are pilots who are like Air Force pilots mm-hmm. and they say, hey, this is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, in our mind, we're thinking like flying saucer, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Third kind? Fourth kind? Whatever it was.
Close Encounters. I think it was third, but don't quote me on it.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But we have this in our head, but they say they see something and then it's like floating around and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden at a speed they've never seen just vanishes.
Are
those guys just making it up?
Well, let's hope they
didn't have an extra
drink at the bar before they got behind the controls of the airplane.
Or are they assets paid to promote? Or I don't know.
What are they promising?
I want to see the evidence. Show me the evidence. A person's
But that's show me the evidence.
No.
By the way, religion, show me the evidence.
That's the same thing.
That's a totally different thing. If you want to compare it to religion, sure. I grant you that. It's very similar to religion. It's like a religion. Just show me the ET.
Well,
I'm not even sure if you showed me their vehicle, it's enough because we have military all over the world creating things that we can't comprehend.
Right. Somebody else could have built that. And then now they're.
Maybe that's because they've reverse engineered the alien technology.
Whatever.
I don't believe it.
I'll believe in them when I see them come and take over the planet. That's when I'll fully believe.
Yeah.
When that spaceship lands and they come marching out, they start wiping out the humans. That's when I'm going to believe.
So the movies have definitely gotten you.
100%.
Because what if they just show up and just.
The same. But what boggles my mind, and we've discussed this before, because having done this show for almost 30 years, we've discussed everything. But when you have like in the Amazon or some place similar like that, where you have people that have never had contact with the real world, mm-hmm. like I don't even know what you call those people, but
yeah, they're like a tribe,
indigenous people living off the land.
Literally, yeah. They don't know anything. Yeah. They don't know. They don't know your phone. They don't know
what a super flex
draft is. They've never even seen people outside their tribe, right? And yet, people will encounter them and somehow find a way to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Or they don't attack each other. Or like that blows my mind, right? I don't know why we don't have encounters like that with all these so-called aliens.
I mean, a smaller example of your indigenous tribe mm-hmm. in the Amazon is Amish country. I mean, here are people that they're not using cars.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's weird.
I saw some
EB, they're not using cars.
Listen, I think some of the Amish people are fake. I saw an Amish guy.
You think they're fake?
Well, they obviously
propaganda.
It's propaganda. You know why? Because they had a big giant. They had a $12,000 camera lens, and they're taking pictures on the side of the
road. Here's how I know.
How do they get that? You know,
all right, but that's like
they had a $12,000 camera.
But they might be in the umbrella of Amish. Okay, much like
Amish.
You know, I'm Catholic. There's some Catholic people that they go to confession every week. They go to church in the middle of the week, hey, not just on Sundays.
There's
different levels, right?
Of course.
So that might be an Amish person that's cheating on whatever they're
now
cheating.
That we're on the Amish topic.
Yeah.
The Amish. Now, some Amish / Mennonites, they're on their big time hustle.
Right.
Because I go out to the Amish market sometimes mm-hmm. in Germantown, and now they can't drive cars, but they can hop in a car that somebody else is driving and they get driven there.
Loopholes.
And then all they do is print money. They're selling everything. They're selling homemade furniture. They're selling bacon. They're selling fried chicken. They're selling homemade candy.
Right.
They're killing it.
Because they're a little bit of a fraud.
I don't know. Now, all I know is that market is
you may have seen
Mennonites
that have a more different approach to technology.
I don't know the difference between Mennonites and Amish. You got me there.
I know you don't. I don't either. But
I don't
either. I know that the Mennonites have a more different approach.
They look the same.
But it is like going in a time warp, because when I would visit my dad in central Pennsylvania when he was still alive, you're driving on these country roads, and then all of a sudden, there's a horse and buggy that you got to navigate around.
I saw a horse and buggy guy coming back from Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
He almost donked off because he was sitting on a bucket, and he had the horse, and the horse got spooked.
Okay.
It tried to climb a curb, and it knocked the guy off his bucket. And the whole thing collapsed.
He was
crashed.
On a bucket in the buggy?
That was his chair.
He's just a short knocker? He needed a bucket to sit on?
He was a real Amish, because he was busto. He had a bucket for a chair.
But didn't the Bickle family almost every summer go to Amish country?
Wasn't my idea.
Yeah, that sounds
It wasn't my trip.
But like your dad or your mom.
He liked to go
One of them was fascinated by
it. He liked to
it.
Go there to him. It was peaceful, a retreat.
Right.
To go there and just sit there and look at nothing.
To me, it's a good place to go buy pretzels. Other than that, I got no time.
I feel like I never went to Amish country, but I remember every summer. Now, you guys wouldn't go for a full week, I don't think. I feel like they would go for
2 days.
3 or 4 days.
Go for like 2 days and
maybe
go to the same
weekend.
Country buffet.
I feel like you would get, I feel like it's a big pie territory.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Right? A lot of homemade
you come home
baked
with
goods.
A bunch of pie.
Not my favorite memories.
Yeah. Amish country for vacation can't be a core memory.
Other than I liked being with my family.
Sure.
The last place on earth I wanted to be was Amish country.
He was like, why can't we go to Ocean City?
I just want to go to, I just want to go to a golf course or something. Why can't we stay at a resort?
Ocean City would have been like going to Hawaii compared to Amish country.
When we went to Ocean City, we stayed 3 miles away. It's some $20 hotel, motel.
That's
with
nubs.
The pool in the parking lot. Yeah. That's where I stayed growing up. You guys think you're a busto? I was way more busto.
We lived on the same street.
Bragging about who's poorer.
My
this
house
is such
was paid
a stupid
for.
Bit.
Trust me. You were rich compared to me. Yeah. I mean, it's not even close. But that went a whole year without getting paid.
JP didn't grow up on the mean streets of Poland Middle School like these two guys.
Yeah. He had his own horse.
Yeah, he was playing Queen polo in his middle school.
I love that you say that I played polo. By the way, he went to four years of Catholic school. I went to public.
I'm pretty sure Prince Harry and Prince William went to JP's middle school. I'm pretty sure.
It's very possible. that's where he met Meghan Markle. Yeah.
Might have been. Yeah.
Coming up next, Tiger Woods ruptured his Achilles. Will he ever be able to come back? We'll talk to Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we got the entertainment page. Then it's a game show Wednesday, your chance to win tickets to Wolf Trap. We got tickets to Offspring, and it's a Wizards Wednesday. Ooh. Not much season left, not many games left, but we'll send you out to see the Wizards take on the Orlando Magic on Friday, March 21st. And guess what happens on that night after the game?
Hold on, March 21st, I'm guessing there's a post-game concert?
Friday night concert series.
Okay. The last time I was in the building, there was a post-game concert with T.I.
Well, I'm going to do my cakes with, ever heard of Shaq?
Oh, I have heard of Shaq Diesel, yeah.
He's done a couple of doggy jams.
So Shaq will be in the building.
So it'll be DJ Diesel.
Very good.
So we'll give you tickets coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for that.
Excellent.
All right, EB, doesn't seem as distraught as I thought about the Tiger Woods deal. We're going to try and track down Rex Hoggard.
How could you be distraught? He's been a shadow of himself for the last 5 years.
Right.
You guys used to, like, I think it has kind of cooled down the last probably year or two, but you guys used to really get ramped up for Tiger Week.
Tiger Week. Well, it used to be a big thing.
If he was playing, it would be Tiger Week.
Yeah, I still do.
But he cancels so many of the events. Like, he's had Tiger Weeks, and then he ends up pulling out.
How many
times is Lucy going to pull the football away from you? Yeah.
I hate him so much because he's so fun to watch when he's on his game. But he comes out to these events ill-prepared. He injures himself by over-preparing. God only knows what he's doing to keep injuring himself so much and throwing himself under the knife.
Yeah, but you know, I know this. One injury often leads to the next. There's compensation issues.
He's the most injured golfer in the history of golf. It's not that taxing of a sport. Let's be honest.
We're well aware.
Yeah.
All right, is Rex on?
He is. Rex Hoggard, reporter for the Golf Channel.
Okay, so
he'll be on in a second.
Hey, if he was playing at Sawgrass, I'd still be psyched. But I feel like
the enthusiasm, though, was greater even just a couple years ago.
No, it's still great, but my expectations of Tiger have you know, become minimal.
Oh, they've bottomed out. Right. How could they be high at all?
I get psyched to watch him compete. That's basically what it is. It's like Willie Mays when he's in the twilight of his career.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, but I still like watching him make
swings.
It's kind
of sad the way he's living out.
The swings are just nostalgia fueled for me when I watch.
Mm-hmm. Do they look similar? I'm not a golf swing aficionado to be able to notice the difference. I know he's made big swing changes over the years, but does the swing look similar?
So his heyday, no. It's a little simpler. It's a little simpler, more of an old man swing at this point.
All right, Rex Hoggard does join us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, Rex.
Morning. How you guys doing?
So before you jumped on, we were talking about how a couple of the guys here would get really ramped up every time Tiger competed, even the last 5 or 6 years. When he wasn't competing very often or very well.
See a glimpse of greatness. See if he could string together a round or two, make it interesting. But, you know, I think we're well beyond that. The guy can't even stay healthy for two rounds, let alone four. And this latest thing is just more, you know, insult to injury. I'm actually infuriated with him. Some of us, I have a friend that feels the same way. I don't know that Valdez feels the same way. But I actually hate him as a person. But I love watching him compete. So I don't know.
It's a conundrum, Rex.
Yeah. It's a weird spot to be in, but that's where I am.
It seems extreme to hate him for this, considering he injured himself trying to get ready to play the Masters. But I see where you're coming from. However, I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. Mm-hmm. So either they were good or they were bad. It didn't really matter. In spring training, I always have hope. And I think that's an example of what Tiger has been the last 5 years, really, as far as being competitively relevant. No, I didn't have realistic expectations coming in, but you always thought maybe he could catch lightning in a bottle.
Right.
Do you think there's a point of no return with him personally where he decides, you know what? I keep doing all this rehab, keep getting hurt. I'm just going to call it quits on the competitive tour, and I'll just go to the senior tour and play every now and then.
I mean, eventually that happens to everyone.
I mean, eventually it absolutely is going to happen to him. I don't think it's going to happen this time around, though. We just got through talking with Rory this morning about it, and Rory's take was he's going to try. He always tries. He'll try to come back from this one. He'll give it his best effort. I see what you guys are getting at, and certainly there's something to be said for at what point is he tired of putting himself through this, his body, his mind, everything it takes to get ready to play competitive golf. I think what happens is he's home in South Florida for extended periods of time. He finally gets healthy. His body finally starts moving, and he'll have one or two good days, and he'll start think, yes, I can do this. However, we haven't seen him be able to string four rounds together in, let's say, the better part of 4 years.
Did he play well? I know it's kind of goofy, but did he play well in the TGL? Like,
not
could
really.
You tell?
He didn't really jump off the page. He had some clubhead speed, but no, not particularly great. I don't know if Rex agrees, but that was my take.
I mean, it's hard. It's simulated golf. I have no idea. It's inside. Like, you can look at the shots some guys hit, and I like TGL, but I don't know how realistic it is to actually real-world golf. I would say the one thing that helped him there is the one thing that will probably keep him playing TGL. He doesn't have to walk from tee box to green, down fairways. He doesn't have to navigate hills. Mm-hmm. All of the things that physically limit him have been taken away. So it's the perfect combination for where he is right now health-wise, because he doesn't have to go through all that. He goes over, sits on a bench, hits the shot, does it all over again.
Can I ask you a question, Rex? It's bugging me. What happened to Tiger's mom? Like, I know she passed. It's a tragedy. She looked great in the box. Was she battling, like, an illness for years? Like, he's so secretive about everything. Like, does anybody know? Do you know and can't say? Like, what happened?
I do not know. And like, look, everyone has asked me this. I've been asked a lot, actually, this week at the Players Championship. And you're right. At the TGL match just the week before, she seemed fine. It's important to point out that Tiger actually learned the news that she had become ill with whatever. We don't know what it is. When he was up in Washington, D.C. with Adam Scott and Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, they were about to meet with the president in the Oval Office. It was the first White House meeting, mm-hmm. if you guys remember, last mm-hmm. month as far as the deal goes. So he had to fly home. He had to jump on the plane and fly home for his mom. So whatever had happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
So looking ahead towards the Masters, which is not that far away, is Scheffler going to be the overwhelming favorite?
I think so. You look at what he did last week at Bay Hill, and it was quintessential Scottie Scheffler. First in the field and strokes gained tee to green, second in the field and strokes gained driving. It's the ball striking that is his hallmark. It's what got him to world number one and has made him the most intimidating player right now in the game. And he didn't putt particularly well. Again, that's kind of his signature hallmark as well. But after the start he has had to the season because of the injury in the offseason with his hand, where he clearly couldn't go do the reps that he needed. He clearly could not have his normal warm-up, his normal offseason. I think now he has pretty much caught up, and he's where he wants to be. This week will be a great litmus test. He's going for the three-peat. Sorry, Rick Riley, I apologize for not paying you for that. But he's going for the three-peat here at the Players Championship, and we'll see exactly where his game is.
Well, it's you could probably play Rick Riley, but Pat Riley's the one that trademarked it. Rick Riley's a good dude, too.
Yeah.
I'm curious your opinion. So a couple years ago, I'm a casual golf fan, all right? I know Scottie Scheffler is amazing, but a couple years ago, it seemed like John Rahm was the top dog, right? And he won a couple of majors. Has his game slipped because of LIV? What's going on? Because I'm sure he's still really good, but it doesn't seem like he's at the top or near the top like he was a few years ago.
I don't even think his game slipped, whether it's because of LIV or not, because you look at his performances on LIV, and he actually had a pretty good year. I mean, it's hard for us to sit and quantify because it's new, it's different, it's not what we're used to when it comes to golf. There's a ranking called Data Golf that includes LIV finishes, and he's still, I think, in their top 10, if not top 5. And I think what he did on LIV is just as impressive as what he did before he joined LIV. I think where most people have an issue here is the way he performed in the four major championships, and I'll even say the way he performed in the Olympics. In Paris, someone said to me going into the final round, remember, he had a 3 or 4 stroke lead going into the final round in Paris, and someone said to me, this is the most important round of John Rahm's year because it was going to be the last time that a general audience, and I'm not taking anything away from LIV, but they don't really resonate yet, at least in the United States, from a viewership standpoint. And the Olympics was going to be the last chance he had to show the world that, yes, I am still John Rahm. And he struggled really bad. He went from being first place by a long shot to not even being on the podium. So I think that's what people still think. I make the same argument about John Rahm that I make about a lot of guys that went to LIV Golf. If they were top five players when they went to LIV Golf, they're still probably top five players. We just don't know it.
Rex, are you on site at the players? And if so, what did the changes for a hole six, what do they look like at this point?
It's pretty cool. I went out there yesterday afternoon. I always love that tree. I don't have to play it very often, so it probably didn't bother me that much. I'm glad they replaced it, and I think they did a really good job. Like, it's not easy to find an oak in a certain shape to lean over the fairway. And I think Davis Love, who's sort of in charge of it, his architecture firm, they did a really cool job putting it in play. And Rory was asked about it just this morning when he spoke to the media. It frames the shot so well. And of all people, Rory probably shouldn't like it because he hits the ball higher than pretty much anyone else. And so he does have to flight it. But if you're a golf nerd and you're really good at golf, like all of these guys are, it's a fun shot.
So give us, before we let you go, just give us, you know, besides Scotty, your two or three guys to keep an eye on this week.
I'm really curious how Xander plays. And, you know, last week he returned from a rib injury, which is, those things can linger and you're always curious. He didn't do anything particularly well last week at Bay Hill, but you want to see how he sort of bounces back here at TPC Sawgrass. That's one of the ones that stand out to me. And then you kind of go down the list of guys who have played well this year. Certainly Rory, he's already won this year on the PGA Tour. He's won on this golf course before. He didn't play particularly well last week. I think that had to do more with some equipment changes that he made. He's gone back to his old stuff. So any combination of those three, I think, would be fun to watch.
Rex, always a pleasure talking to you. It's Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. Thanks, pal.
See you guys.
Thanks, Rex. Buddy.
I don't even know if Rex knew how to respond when you just kind of went on a soliloquy about how you hated Tiger Woods.
I know, he's not used to that.
There was
that,
no question.
He's venting.
I know.
I know.
I'm just putting context. Yeah. But I know that, no, you know, I'm different.
What do you want the Golf Channel reporter to say when you say, I hate Tiger Woods?
I want him to know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, yeah. He wants him to acknowledge why he's frustrating.
Yeah.
Also, I can't believe Cakes knew that about the course.
I know. I know that course.
Was a Valdez question. It was such a Valdez question.
I don't know if hole six is a par four, par five. I could par six. I have no idea.
Well, Valdez is such a golf nerd. He probably knows the type of grass it has.
To answer that hole six, how different it looks.
What type of grass do they have?
Oh, they have bent rye.
Yeah. What kind?
Bent rye.
Bent rye grass.
Probably Bermuda down there.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears. Open up Evie's entertainment page here on The Junkies.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.